You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 15th of July 2020 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAlbion.com. Well, we've had another so-called far-right terrorist group banned here in Britain, or they will be banned over the next week. I believe it still has to be discussed in Parliament, but it seems to be a foremade decision that the group are going to be banned. And I'm sure most of our listeners will probably have never, ever heard of them before. They're called Feuerkrieg Division. And I first came across some of their imagery probably last year, I think it was. I saw one of their posters, one of their images. I think it might have been on Gab. And straight away, I thought, well, who's putting this out? This is clearly illegal. It's encouraging violence. They look as if they support Satanism as well. And I mentioned it to Mark Collett and said, watch out for this stuff. If you see any of this in your chat rooms, you need to get rid of these people or have words with them about what they're doing. And I don't think I came across any more of it since then. I may have done in a Telegram group, may have seen another one of these images. And again, I warned people about having anything to do with this group, because quite clearly what they were putting out is illegal and doesn't help us in any way. I mean, when people see imagery like that, they just think this is shocking. This is terroristic imagery. And we don't want people to think we're terrorists. We're people that love our own people. We just want to stand up for our own people. And as Jared Taylor says, if we don't have a peaceful solution, then we don't have a solution. You can't fight against the state. It's like a gnat trying to fight against an elephant. Well, let's look into the details of this. The Home Secretary has today moved to outlaw the far-right terror group Feuerkrieg Division. Priti Patel has asked Parliament for permission to proscribe the white supremacist group, which was founded in late 2018 and operates across North America and Europe. They advocate the use of violence and mass murder in pursuit of an apocalyptic race war and promote their ideology online, often using social media platforms to target teens and people in their early 20s. Proscription will make it a criminal offence to be a member of or invite support for the group, with those found guilty facing up to 10 years behind bars. And anybody that is involved in this group really needs to be paying attention to this and what has happened over the last few years to ex-members of National Action, friends of ex-members of National Action. What this means is if you were a member of this group, which looks like it was just chat rooms, and you are found to still be associating in chat rooms with members of this group, then you could be found guilty of still being a part of an active member of the group. That's what these National Action trials have established, that if you are still talking to people that were members of the group, then the courts will say that you are still an active member. And they will also say that if you are still using the type of language that you were using while you were a part of this group, then that can be used as evidence that you're still an active member as well. It's got nothing to do with membership lists. Home Secretary Priti Patel said, "This vile white supremacist group advocates violence and seeks to sow division, targeting young and vulnerable people online. I am determined to do everything I can to stop the spread of extreme ideologies that encourage and glorify terrorism, which is why I have taken action to proscribe this group. And they are targeting young and vulnerable people online. They are targeting the naive people online. But that is because the people doing it themselves are young and naive. In September 2019, United Kingdom police apprehended a 16-year-old member on terrorism charges. In retaliation for the arrest of one of its followers, Fuhr Krieg Division distributed a list of police buildings and an image of a senior police officer with a gun to his head and the words "race traitor" across his eyes to its members, urging them to carry out attacks. Now, if this had been a group with explosives, something like the IRA or whatever, then, you know, that can be taken seriously. But looking at something like that, it just says to me, this is children. I mean, this is childish. This is the action of people with no ability to carry out their threats whatsoever. If they actually had the ability to carry out these threats, then they wouldn't be making them. Now, we can find out more about this group from Unicorn Riot, which is a left-wing Antifa organization from America, and they've been looking into this group for quite some time. I think Hope Not Hate have obviously been trying to push the government into banning them as well. And this is the thing, these organizations like this, these groups like this, they just play into the left's hands because they just fulfill every worst stereotype that anyone can think of for a white nationalist. Well, Unicorn Riot say the group was founded and led for most of its existence by Commander, an unidentified Estonian teen. Commander is believed to have been arrested by Estonian and or European authorities after he disappeared from FKD's online chats in January 2020. And this was updated in April the 8th when Estonian journalist Mika Salu identified Commander as a 13-year-old boy. A 13-year-old boy. So this is fantasists. This is children that are fantasizing, that aren't even adults yet, that don't know how to, barely even responsible for their actions at the age of 13 years old. So in Britain, you've got a 16-year-old child who is up on terror charges for being a member of this group. And in Estonia, it turns out that the child that started this group is just 13 years old. And this is why when I saw this imagery, I thought, well, this has got to be MI5, hasn't it? Because this is so obviously illegal and self-defeating. And I didn't think at the time, well, it could just be children and they just don't know any better. And that's why they're putting this stuff out. They don't realize the consequences of their actions yet. Commander described himself as a believer in esoteric Hitlerism and frequently encouraged FKD members to plan and carry out violent attacks. Well, esoteric Hitlerism is basically the belief that Adolf Hitler is an avatar of Vishnu. There's nothing in it to encourage violence at all, any more than any other sect of Hinduism encourages violence. And you may laugh at it, you may think that it's a little bit silly, but there's nothing to encourage violence in that. And it's a shame that they're pointing that out, because they will probably try and link esoteric Hitlerism with this now. And I would suggest it's more likely to have a link with Satanism and these satanic ideas that we don't need to have morals and we can be as immoral as we like, and the end justifies the means, which is something that Adolf Hitler was completely against. I mean, that was Bolshevism's idea, the end justifies the means. The National Socialist idea is that the end and the means are the same thing. So as you're actually getting to the end, the means have to be justified. They have to be justified right the way through. It's like saying it's not so much where you're going to as the journey to get there that is more important, and that's what helps you to grow. So what they're actually promoting is the opposite of National Socialism. And the guy that came up with esoteric Hitlerism was Miguel Serrano, if people want to look up his work. I think he's Chilean, and his works have been translated into English, and I've made podcasts before in the past pointing out where he was mistaken in his attacks on Christianity, because he was very anti-Christian. So we can say that this group is anti-Christian. So they're against the kind of nationalism that we promote here at Radio Albion, because of course we are pro-Christian here. Continuing with what Unicorn Riot have to say, in September, a 16-year-old FKD member in the UK who went by the username DV was arrested and charged with terrorism offences. This is the lad that we were hearing about earlier. About a week after his arrest, FKD earned itself more focused attention from authorities when it released posters threatening the life of a UK police official and demanding the release of their arrested teen member. And they have some screenshots of the chat room messages here. And I mean, this is the reason why I'm looking at this Unicorn Riot stuff, because they actually have the chat room records of what was actually being said. They're not just making ludicrous accusations, which you get on the Hope Not Hate site, for instance. And that the chat room says, well, they took one of us. What are we going to do? What about a death threat video and send it to whatever court decided to lock him up? Explosive threats, threatened to blow up the court. And of course, this is childish fantasies. They're not thinking any further than that. If they think that, for a start, they think it's a court that decided to lock him up when the police would have arrested him, they would have found evidence, they would have charged him. It's not the court that locked him up. He was put on remand because he was going to face a trial, basically. And then to think that if they make a death threat video or make explosive threats, they're going to release this guy back into the public. Again, this is childish fantasies. This is not the thinking of a mature adult. This is the thinking of somebody that is used to reading children's fiction, for a start, where things like that happen and you can make a threat to the authorities and the authorities will release the hero of the story. I mean, this doesn't happen in real life. The people that make the threats are the ones that also then get arrested in real life. Again, this shows us that these people are fantasists. On October the 9th, 2019, another FKD member based in the UK, Luke Hunter, aged 21, was arrested on terrorism charges. And again, they talk about FKD members here, but remember, there's no hint of a membership list. It's just people that were using chat rooms and talking on chat rooms and bringing out the worst in each other, really, and fantasizing about things like sending death threat videos to courts. I don't think there's any allegations that any actual violent acts were carried out. And when you're that age, you do tend to boast a lot. And I should imagine that they were trying to outdo one another and making boasts about what they were going to do or what they had done. And I dare say most of it was complete fantasy. The FKD chats following the news of Hunter's arrest show that they believed him to be the chat user Mirand. And we have a BBC report here on Luke Hunter, aged 21, from October 2019. A man has appeared in court charged with terrorism offences relating to his alleged support for an international right-wing terror group, the FKD. Now, it's only today that Priti Patel is talking about making this group into a terror organisation, talking about proscribing this group as that. So why are the BBC talking as if that has already been done 8 months ago, 10 months ago, in October last year? Because the group was not a terrorist organisation at the time when this Luke Hunter was arrested. Luke Hunter is alleged to have encouraged the murder of homosexuals, Jews and non-white people, and shared a video of the Christchurch shooting. Now, Luke Hunter was quite well known in chat rooms for his extremism, basically, and being kicked out of chat rooms for saying stupid things. I don't think anybody believed he would have been likely to carry out any of the daft things that he said, but he was just saying daft things, basically. I don't think he would have been capable of any violence. He was obviously had a lot of issues. I mean, he would talk about the fact that he had been abused when he was a child, and he would talk about this publicly. It seemed like he didn't have the same understanding of private and public that most people have. It seemed to blur the sort of things that most normal people would certainly not want to make public. Luke Hunter had a habit of making public, and he quite often made a fool of himself. And we can see why when we get to the end of this article on him. The 21-year-old of High Callerton, Newcastle, entered no plea at Westminster Magistrates Court. He was remanded in custody to appear at the Old Bailey on the 18th of October. Mr. Hunter's lawyer, Francis Herzo, told magistrates the defendant was accompanied in the dock by an appropriate adult as a result of mental health problems and a diagnosis of autism as a teenager. So we've got somebody here possibly with learning difficulties, problems, adjusting, mental health problems. We've got an organisation that was started by a 13-year-old child, and we've got another 16-year-old child that's been arrested for this. I mean, we really need to be watching out that youngsters don't go down this route. We need to be setting a good example for them. We need them to be listening to broadcasts like Radio Albion. We need them to be looking at websites like patrioticalternative.org.uk. We need them to be getting actively involved in Patriotic Alternative and not heading for the darkest recesses of the internet, where they're going to feed on this sort of imagery, this violent imagery, and each try to outdo one another. I mean, this is the thing. I suspect that they were all trying to outdo one another with the most extreme things that they could say. That is the sort of thing you do when you're a teenager. You want to make a name for yourself. It's like when kids go out and they drink and they get super drunk because they want to be the person that can drink the most. And it's this same mentality. Whether or not any of these youngsters would have actually carried out these things is a different matter. I mean, it's possible, I guess, that maybe one of them might have done. But we don't want them to be going down this route anyway, where they're in that situation, because now they're going to be charged with being members of this group, and the courts are going to look at the information in their chat rooms, and they're going to say, this is what they were wanting to do. These are the plans that they were making. And this is why you can't say these silly things online. And this is why it's children that they've had to arrest for this, because it's children that don't know any better. It's this lad here who needs an appropriate adult in the dock, because he's not properly aware of the consequences of the silly things that he's saying. On January the 15th, 2020, FKD's public Telegram channel announced the group was stopping all of our recruitment operations for an undefined amount of time. FKD also publicly claimed to be disbanding. Their chats show the group never broke up, but rather stayed together and continued plotting a rebrand, although they never managed to settle on a name. And as I say, they really need to be paying attention to this. Because if they think, oh, well, the group's not there anymore, I've gone and joined another group, and they're still putting out this violent imagery, or they are still saying silly things, if they're still glorifying things like the Christchurch shooting, then the courts will use all of that as evidence to say that they are still members of this group, FKD, because that's what happened to National Action. And we've also had recently some more National Action prosecutions that I hadn't actually covered on here yet. And they're relevant to this because it shows that it doesn't matter whether these people that had been involved, whether they're actually planning to do any terrorism or break the law, The fact that they are still hanging out together is all the evidence that is needed for the courts to say that they're members of a far-right terrorist group. This report comes from The Sun. A former Miss Hitler beauty pageant entrant has been jailed for 3 years for being a member of the far-right terrorist group National Action. Remember, National Action completely disbanded very, very publicly years ago, as soon as it was banned. So all these people that have been jailed for being members of National Action, none of them thought that they were actually members of National Action. And anyone that was a part of this FKD group needs to think about this. Alice Cutter, 23, was among four neo-Nazi diehards convicted of being members of the banned terrorist group. Her Nazi-admiring former partner, Mark Jones, was convicted of membership of a terrorist group after a trial in March alongside co-accused Gary Jack and Connor Scottern. Sentencing at Birmingham Crown Court on Tuesday, Judge Paul Farrer, QC, told Jones he had played a significant role in the continuation of the organisation after its ban in December 2016. Notice there's nothing here about them planning any actions. There's nothing here about them planning any protests. There's nothing here about them recruiting. Nothing here about plans for any illegal activity at all. Just the fact that they were talking to one another in chat rooms is evidence that they were breaking the law. This is the precedent that has been set with these National Action trials. Turning to Cutter, he said, "You never held an organisational or leadership role." So she wasn't in the organisation. She was never in National Action. But added, she was a trusted confidant of one of the group's leaders, as well as being in a committed relationship with Jones. So because she was the girlfriend of somebody who used to be in National Action, she's now been jailed for 3 years for being a member of a far-right terrorist group. Prosecutors described Cutter and Jones, both of Sowerby Bridge near Halifax, West Yorkshire, as well as Jack and Scottern, as active group members, even after the ban. And what they mean there is that they were still talking about the things that they were talking about when they were in National Action. That's what they mean by active members. It means that they were still meeting in chat rooms, they were still making bad taste jokes about ethnic minorities, and that's all that they were doing. And yet this will be listed as terror cases, and it will be used to show that the so-called far right, the so-called white supremacists, are a big threat because there has been a massive increase in terrorist suspects arrested from that particular group. And this is what we hear. We have heard Neil Basu talk about how the far right are the fastest growing terror threat in Britain. We've got a report here that's also come out in The Independent. It says the number of white terror suspects being arrested in the UK has outstripped those of Asian appearance for the second year in a row. Official figures showed that 117 white people were arrested on suspicion of terror offences in 2019, compared with 111 Asian suspects and 21 black suspects. The proportion of white people arrested exceeded the proportion of Asian people arrested for the second consecutive year, having not done previously since 2004, a Home Office document said. So it's already happening. These people that are being arrested just for talking to their friends who were once in National Action, they're now classed as terror suspects. They're now being used to encourage a false belief that the biggest terror threat in Britain comes from white people. And we'll get into the proof of that now. A total of 25 attack plots have been foiled since March 2017. 16 Islamist, 8 far-right, and one other. So the Islamic terror plots, there are twice as many of them as so-called far-right terror plots. And that's that have been foiled. That's that have been foiled because they're directing all their attention on the so-called far-right that are supposed to be the biggest threat. But let's have a look at the terror attacks that were not foiled since 2017. And these come from Wikipedia, so there are probably others that aren't listed. 2017, 25th of August. Mohia Sanath Chowdhury slashed police officers with a sword outside Buckingham Palace while shouting Allahu Akbar repeatedly. He was not found guilty of terrorism by a court, but was charged with a single count of preparing an act of terrorism. During and after release from prison, he then went on to plan further terror attacks and was arrested in 2018. 15th of September 2017, a homemade bomb partially detonated on a tube train in Parsons Green Station. 22 were injured, including 18 who were hospitalised. So we're now starting to get people that were physically injured by these attacks. 2017, 28th November, in an attempt to kill Prime Minister Theresa May, Islamic State terrorist Naima Zakaria Rahman was arrested in London after collecting a fake bomb and suicide vest from undercover operatives. 2018, February, Ethan Stables, a white supremacist, was arrested, plotting a machete attack in an LGBT parade. And this is the only instance we have of a white supremacist terror attack. And he was actually brought to the attention of the police by other nationalists that were in the chat room where this guy was saying these silly things. So it's thanks to nationalists that that plot was foiled. 2018, 9th of April, Fata Mohamed Abdullah brought more than 8,000 matches, fireworks, fuses, explosives, precursors, or substances that could be used to manufacture explosives, and a remote-controlled detonator. He pleaded guilty to inciting people to commit terror attacks in Germany and buying explosive equipment. 14th of August 2018, Westminster car attack. A Ford Fiesta swerved into pedestrians outside the Palace of Westminster. The car then crossed over a traffic island before crashing into a security barrier. 3rd of July 2019, Mohia Sanath Chowdhury and his sister were arrested for planning to target London tourist sites including Madame Tussauds, Piccadilly Circus and London's Gay Pride Parade using a vehicle, knife and gun. He was convicted of plotting terror attacks on 10th of February 2020. 2019, 31st of August, Anwar Dryush from Middlesbrough was arrested in North London and charged with one offence of possessing an explosive substance and seven offences of possessing a document likely to be useful to a person committing or preparing an act of terrorism. 20 months in prison. 29th of November 2019, London Bridge stabbing. Police shot dead a suspect wearing a suspected fake suicide vest after five people were injured in a stabbing incident near London Bridge. Three people were confirmed as being killed, including the suspect. 2nd of February 2020, Streatham stabbing. Two people were stabbed before police shot the suspect, Sudesh Aman, dead. 21st of February 2020, Islamic State supporter Safia Sheikh was arrested after she admitted plotting to blow herself up in a bomb attack on St. Paul's Cathedral, stating that she would kill till I'm dead. And then, of course, we also had the Reading attack a couple of weeks ago where a Libyan suspect killed three white men and left more injured. So we can look at that. There's 12 attacks there. There's probably been a lot more than that. And there's only one attack by a so-called white supremacist. So that's less than 10%. Less than 10%. And all these attacks have been extremely violent. We're talking about stabbings, you're talking about explosives, you're talking about multiple people injured, multiple people killed. And when we're looking at this this Forakrieg division, all we've got is images. We've got images online that glorify violence. And yet all the resources are being directed against these white children that are saying these stupid things. And while all the resources are being directed against them, we've got genuine, ultra-violent Islamic terrorism taking place that's leaving people killed and injured. We've got something like 3,000 jihadis on the streets of Britain, and yet our resources are going on banning groups like this. Now, I'm not sure what is the right way to deal with this. Quite clearly what they were doing was illegal, putting out these images that glorify violence. But locking these children up, which is what will happen if we look at what's happened with the National Action cases, these kids, the 16-year-old, 13-year-old Estonian, the lad that needs an appropriate adult in the dock, they could end up with years in prison. I mean, all they really need is a positive nationalist influence. I don't think they've managed to find anyone over the age of 25 that's been involved in this Fourkrieg division group. It seems to just be children, and children that have been attracted to it, children that have been brought up on video games and violent movies, that don't realize the consequences of the things that they are saying. And some of them could now end up jailed for a long time. So when we see images like the Fourkrieg division ones, we need to be denouncing them, and we need to be encouraging the people that wanted to go and join up with these groups and find out more. We need to be encouraging them to listen to Radio Albion and check out the patrioticalternative.co.uk site. We need to be encouraging them in the right direction, encouraging them away from the Satanism, away from the ultra-violence, away from the silly fantasies, and into doing positive things for our community, positive real-life activities where they will meet up with older nationalists that can set a good example for them, that they can get involved in activities with and feel like they are doing something positive, that they're doing something that's going to have some real-world results, rather than fantasizing about killing ethnic minorities because they feel that there's no hope left in the world unless we have a violent revolution. And that's just not the way that it is. Violent revolutions always end up with the people in a worse off situation than they were before. The National Socialist Revolution wasn't a violent revolution. They were voted into office. Gaddafi's Green Revolution wasn't a violent revolution. There was not one drop of blood shed. The Bolshevik Revolution was a violent revolution, and look at the results of it. Millions dead. Millions of white Christians dead. The French Revolution was a violent revolution. Look at the results of it. I'm not sure of the numbers of how many people were dead, but just look at the state of France now to see the results of the French Revolution. The only way we are going to succeed is if we do things peacefully and if we do things legally. And fantasizing about executing police, executing ethnic minorities, is just going to get you labeled as a terrorist, and it's going to ruin your life. This is the problem. These kids that have been involved in this, they don't realize just what damage they have done to their later lives. We need to set them a good example, and we need to get them involved in positive nationalism and not negative nationalism. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless, and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.